Welcome back to episode 297 of the Bad Taste Video Podcast. I'm Mike. I'm here with Grizz. We're getting back to some semi-backwoods slasher, or at least backwoods appearing slashers.
But good stuff.
I like before it. That, let's hit the intro, baby.
But I could, dude. I mean, I pop so hard for fucking hack 'em, fucking stack 'em, back 'em, whatever the fuck.
Hack 'em, whack 'em, stack 'em, and pack 'em.
Yeah, that's
fucking good. Hey man, I gotta say, we're coming back with a good soundtrack again this week. Pretty solid, even though I saw some negative things online. But yes, we watched the 1988 shot on video. Right? Is it shot on video? Yeah, has to be.
I assume.
I don't know. Wait, let me double check that just because you never.
It is. I can actually promise you that it is. I know for a fact.
It has to be.
This is one thing
yes.
that I know.
Yeah. And
it's in my fancy book that I have about that is, shot on video movies.
You know, first of all, yeah, that's we're doing The Hackers, a low budget movie from Michigan, I think, right? I think it's from up north a bit.
Oh, fuck. Dude, I thought I watched that fucking 90s movie about the computer guys.
Oh, I could do it right now. I don't need to even watch that movie.
Right,
I could
cool. go. We'll fuck it. We'll switch up.
Matthew Lillard, bro. You got fucking Angelina
about a
Jolie.
Rollerblade. I remember that about them.
Yeah, man. That was that Hack the Planet, bro. I love that movie. I always love
Hack
that movie.
Planet.
But this one, I've never seen it before. You've never seen it before either until this week. Oh. I've seen the tape around a very rare VHS tape, as per usual, with most of the movies that we're doing on here. I've seen, you know, you see them around, but it's extremely rare. So you're going to pay big money or give up some good shit for it. One thing I will say, I love low budget releases that come in a clamshell, like intentionally. Like they actually designed it for a clam. Like it makes it look so much fucking more appealing to me for some reason.
That's why Blood Cult always looked fucking awesome in that United clam, like the original release, not the slip, but that original black fucking United clam, dude. That shit looks so fucking good with the all black artwork and everything. It just stuck out so much more than other movies.
Then there's that one that everybody wants that has like the medallion on it or something, right? Is that a
gold?
I don't fucking know, but Blood Cult, good movie, thumbs up. We've covered that way back in the day. But The Hackers, I feel like, is one of those movies where I went into it thinking, like, fuck, this is probably not going to be good. Because usually, when you see movies that are very expensive, they rarely are expensive, other than
you expect too much, I think, too. Not you personally, I think. In that scenario, when something is that expensive, you're expecting it to be, this movie's got to be outrageous. There has to be a reason that, you know, not a bunch of them were fucking made. Sometimes the reason not a bunch of them were made is because it's a really fucking bad movie that's really boring. Yeah. And you find out the hard way. But this one is actually kind of a sleeper in that sense, dude. Because even like hearing the name and stuff, you would think, okay, you know, this could be, you know, give or take. But this one from fucking go, I was sold, man. This thing did not stop the whole way. It just kind of like fulfills all the goofy things about like low budget shot on video horror that I love. And it's done in like kind of like a way that pays homage to a lot of other classic horror things that I like.
Yeah, I agree with that. There are like a lot of nods to some other things I feel like in this movie. Even sometimes the music sounds like other movies, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it, which is kind of kind of surprising for me. I'm going to have to give it another three watches. But said that like this movie starts off like right away with something, and it was actually in the intro of our show this week, the hitchhiker getting his fingers cut off.
This is right before the intro happens that we just saw. This is like when he was cleaning his knife off there. This was the reason why.
So this dude, also here's the awesome music. This is you, man, traveling with your fucking leather jacket on.
Desperado. I fucking love it. Like,
and he gets his thumb cut off by the passing van. Well, it's a truck with the work conversion on the back. Look at this guy. What's he hitchhiking for? He looks like fucking, like he should be driving a Camaro, right? What the fuck? But the movie starts right away with something like pretty fucked up, similar to movies, you know, like Skinned Alive. We said like very similar to that, where you got like the killer family.
That's a great comparison, honestly. When you told me that earlier, I was like, yeah, this does, it has that same feeling throughout the whole thing. Different story, obviously, different characters and stuff, but just like, it's just that weird family kind of thing. And that's really what this is kind of like based around, is like this weird family of misfits and stuff, with the older father kind of being
Pa Hacker,
the patriarch of the family and stuff. Dude, he's like my favorite character too. The old man, some of the shit that comes out of his mouth is legitimately hilarious. Just maybe not even intentionally, but like the delivery and like the deadpan of it is
the delivery is like, it's so dry at times that it sounds just, I don't know, like they're feeding the lines to him as he goes. You know what I mean? Or he's reading a cue card somewhere.
Yeah, that
somewhere.
Does kind of feel like what it's, that's right?
He shows like no emotion at all. Like at one point, like towards the end, he gets shot in the foot and you see him get like a little bit upset. But like generally throughout the whole film, he shows no emotion. My fucking chair just like snapped from the upright position into the recline. I think I just sat on my testicle. I think I have to go to the hospital right now.
Sorry, guys. Give me a moment. To...
yeah. Oh, man. That was fucking wild.
You adjust my nuts.
But I do enjoy the family dynamic, the two sons, they're both like fucking like crazy looking. The one guy is like a real, he's got like a hunchback or something. It's not a prosthetic. It looks like he actually has this abnormality. And the other guy's,
I don't know if it's like a hunchback or he just has like no neck.
Well, that's what it looks like. Yeah. Like it's really like, it looks like his shoulders are like up to his ears. It's really fucking wild looking. And the other guy, he's like a big oafish looking dude with a beard that wears a mask. It looks like half the Carl the Butcher Shitter mask. Very interesting pair. They both have like very child slash teen like personalities, right? Almost like Cannibal Campout also, where like they're stunted in a way, but they're all serial killers. So
what's that like? It makes for hillbilly kind of dumb, like, you know, and I think that kind of comes with it, that like, you know, because there's something wrong with them, you know, physically you could see that like there's obviously something wrong with them mentally also, and like but it adds to this family dynamic that I just kind of really enjoy in these type of movies that are I don't know, like these like weird family movies I'm just so drawn to. They have like this interesting dynamic between them where they're like, you know, you had this grandpa who, or not grandpa, but like father figure who's like obviously of right mind. You know, he's not like too fucking crazy. Like the boys are the lunatics of the family and stuff.
He's like somewhere in the middle.
He's trying to keep them in.
Yeah. He like knows how to like blend into society compared to like the two kids, right? Garbage Man.
He was trying to hide the kids. Like in a way.
Yes.
And that's like kind of the cool shit you get with these like family movies, is these weird dynamics between everybody.
Garbage Man 78 says, my DVD of Cryptic Plasm arrived today. I ordered from Morbid Vision on eBay right after last week's episode. Very good. Give Brian Pollan that fucking money. Yeah, don't watch it for free. Okay? Give the guy the money. Jesus Christ. These people put so much effort into these movies. It takes them so long to make because they have no help from, you know, big studios or anything like that. So at least reward them a little bit. The least you could do is go to fucking eBay and buy the DVD right?
Garbage Man, dude, I got to ask, did you fucking watch it yet? And did you enjoy it as much as you thought you would based on the review that we saw here, man? Because we absolutely love that.
And also, any version you see online is not going to look as good as the DVD. The DVD looks far better than any of the online copies. So please go out and buy that. He's got a whole bunch of the old stuff that says it's out of stock on the old website. But if you go to the eBay, he's got them and they're pretty cheap. Like, yeah, it's definitely worth picking up. He's a fucking awesome filmmaker, has made tons of movies that we like, more movies that we're probably going to cover on here also, like Fetus and shit. Like, we're going to definitely do that. People still buy DVDs. Of course people still buy DVDs. That's the only way to get some of this shit.
Come on. Of course they're buying DVDs. We buy any format that we can get the movie in it these days, you know? Like,
yeah.
I'm far beyond the days of media discrimination
that used to be. Remember, now you're seeing, everybody thought we were fucking crazy for buying all this shit and keeping it for all these years. Well, guess what? When Netflix loses the rights to whatever movie, I still have it. When, you know, Peacock loses whatever, guess what? I still have it. It's very nice to be able to go to the fucking, go over to my fucking wall and get a copy of Dawn of the Dead out, whatever, because you cannot fucking stream that anywhere unless you watch a copy on YouTube or whatever, but you can't stream that legally anywhere. So,
you know how many years I went through with people laughing at me because I fucking collected VHS tapes? Well, and it's just like, I've done my due diligence at this point.
Up until recently, a lot of stuff wasn't available. That was it. If you didn't have it on tape, you didn't have it at all. There was no Blu-ray. There was no Vinegar Syndrome fucking release. You were fucked. No Saturn's Core doing stuff like that. That was it. You were fucked. Unless you could find that copy.
Shout out to fucking Ross with Saturn's Core, man. That dude is just really putting like a lot of the stuff that we love on his shoulders and being able to put it out in like a great new format, in the Blu-ray format. All the extras that he does, man. Dude, fucking shout out to Ross, man, because that dude, Saturn's Core is really on point lately.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do that Devil's Playground movie eventually. The one with all the Metallica music and shit in it. That they just what was it? What was the theory that it was not actually shot when they said it was shot? That it was shot.
Oh yeah, that recently? Is the movie. Yeah, the rumor that went around the fucking campsite.
I think everybody was just a little too fucking ripped, and they were like, you know what, man? I don't know. So we'll have to.
The movie's not real, bro. There's a fucking car in the background.
Brendan Timmons, I have over 10,000 releases in my collection. Physical media is king. That's true. Everybody also make sure you buy a fucking dehumidifier and stuff. Don't be leaving that shit in no fucking dungy ass place. If you want it to last forever, any disc will eventually separate. You'll see that with a lot of early DVDs, a lot of laser discs. You start seeing like the film separating from the plastic and everything. And at that point, it's done. Ain't no scratch that you could buff out. So back to this week's movie, The Hackers, which I don't know. Is there even a DVD of this? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. But
sure.
Grizz, I got to say, man, for such a basic story, it's done so well that it managed to keep my attention for the, hour and 13 minutes or 15 minutes, whatever the fuck it was. Like every
Hour
time
11,
that,
I, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, every time I watched it, for some reason, like the weird comedy aspect to it, the two brothers, the dad, the interactions with the locals, the interactions with the customers. How about the one set of customers that refused to pay because they did the wrong job? That is quite the scene, and the effect is pretty good when the dude takes the fucking machete out.
Yeah, I actually really enjoy this scene.
Hold on, I have it here. So yeah, these people are like, fuck you, we're not paying. You didn't ask what we wanted you to do. No, you didn't do what we asked you to do. We wanted you to check the chimney and seal the roof or whatever, and you guys sealed the chimney and checked the roof or whatnot. And our pa hacker says, make
calling
pay,
the boys,
boys.
Basically, dude.
Call the police.
And so the wife wants to call the police, and the one brother with the mask buries the fucking machete in the dude's thigh. The wife
Great
is
shot.
Getting
a thigh cut.
Yeah. And then the shoulder slice right through his clavicle, and he pulls
you
it out. That looks great.
Police with those fingers.
damn doctor, but yep. calling the fucking body part.
And the wife is over there on the porch area Thunder with her bitches, fingers cut off.
What we got coming.
We always collect what we got coming.
Dude, I had to like just make sure that fucking line got at the end of that. Like the whole interaction beforehand is great too, because like he's so adamant that like he's gonna get paid and shit, and as soon as he's not going to, like his first thing is just like calling the boys over, and like he legitimately just like, boys, they ain't gonna fucking pay. And the kids come over and just like just see what happens to him and stuff. It's just a great principle, man.
Well, so these guys aren't only killing people that are kind of doing them wrong. They're also picking up hitchhikers and killing them too. But it seems like everybody they kill does, in fact, do something negative towards them, right?
Yeah, this hitchhiker was kind of annoying, dude. Although she had a fucking dope ass Trans Am that my fucking Uncle Eddie had, the exact same one
Shit.
When I was fucking growing up, dude.
Damn.
He was like this dude, he was fucking jacked. And he was like, dude, he's like, okay, like dude, this dude's fucking crazy, right? He's like a doomsday prepper now, like in the nice. Fucking mountains.
Nice.
Got
nice.
A cabin fucking
in New York?
Supplied up and yeah, like Southern Tier fucking
damn.
Dude, like he's up in the fucking hills, gardening, fucking collecting rainwater. He's got the whole fucking system ready to go. But even like back in the Trans Am days, like for my birthday and shit, like he wouldn't give me like a birthday card with like fucking 10 bucks in it and shit. He'd come over and he'd give like me and my sister like fucking ounces of like gold or silver and shit.
Wow. For us to, dude, that's dude, better that, than money.
Dude, of course it's worth money, dude. But like when you're fucking 10, you're like, the fuck am I gonna do with this fucking dude? I was thinking about it because like I've lost all of that since I was a fucking kid. Like I have no idea where it fucking went. Yeah. Are you kidding me? And I'm just like, man, if I was a more responsible fucking kid, like I'd have a shit ton. Like my uncle was like trying to fucking set me up a little bit there, and I completely fucking dropped the ball.
You were fucking handing it out for Pokemon cards and shit. Like, dude, yeah, I'll give you
what the fuck I do. That's like the one thing that just completely escapes my mind is where the fuck those dude gold, silver, all kinds of fucking precious metals. I had a bunch of shit, man.
Could it have been one of those things where, like, when you're younger and you have some sort of like large party and your like parents take all the cards and somehow you only come out with like $20 from the party? Like, could it be one of those deals?
I suspect that, or potentially my older sister
knowing what it was
might have.
I'll hold it
eventually
for you.
Finding out what it was and then coming for fucking coming for my gold like I'm a goddamn leprechaun and fucking taking
she's
me
got
out.
Like a,
dude.
She's got like a sack full of fucking gold somewhere, just sitting in a closet.
Yeah.
She probably thought it was fucking fake. She used to just play with it. That would be fucking
hilarious. Like hear this one day and be like, oh fuck, that's real gold. Like not knowing at all still.
But here's the scene with the hitchhiker. This is actually a pretty terrifying situation to be in, like trapped in a car with these three fucking guys. But she meets a very I feel like I've seen this before in a movie, but I don't know.
My God, Gramps, you do have ugly kids.
Yeah, so she's talking shit. I'd put him in a zoo. So the one with no neck reaches over with the machete and like strangles her with it, like puts the blade into her throat and pulls back. Pretty fucked up. I like that the truck is like urban camo, right? It's
it's
Jeff Hanneman
like
truck.
Traditional camo, yeah.
That's pretty interesting. I feel like I don't see that as often anymore.
No.
Remember people like just spray painting their cars like camo? That was fucking
That
was
I
like
had
a wild
that did it in the 90s for sure, man.
It was a wild time.
Fucking jump your car. Man, no one gave a fuck.
Shit, fuck.
Probably a fucking what the fuck was the car that like everybody was a Pontiac? Was it the Trans Am?
The Sunfire?
Oh dude, I had a fucking Sunfire that like the fucking theft system fucking like broken it and like would not start the car. Like it was, they basically totaled the car because like the fucking theft system had like
damn
disengaged it and shit. And
that's fucking rough,
Sunfire.
Man.
God damn, those are the worst. Like it those in like neons were everywhere. Those fucking Dodge neons.
I think it might have been the Trans Am or whatever, or Grand Am. Grand Am.
Grand Am. That's what it was, because there was a Grand Prix that was like
the
a little bit
version.
Fucking nicer.
Yeah. the two door.
Everybody had a Grand Am, dude. God damn.
The Beretta of the Cavalier. Cool. You had a Beretta, right?
I had a Beretta.
And I had a with Cavalier.
With the fucking bra. Like on the fucking.
Yeah, the bumper bra. Shit. No, bumper bully. Yeah. Isn't that what they call it? A bumper bully?
I think that was even the brand name or something like that, that the bra was.
I had a two-door 94 Chevy Cavalier that used to just have the radiator explode constantly. Even when I'd get another one, it would fucking still explode. And I would be like 16 driving this. I had to be like 17 because I was in college. Driving the fucking college on like the busiest highway on Long Island. And like my fucking radiator exploding. And that was like the day my dad explained to me, you could still drive, just turn your fucking heat on and don't stop. I was like, hell yeah. I've done that a couple times in my life. Terrifying experience, no matter what the age is.
I've done that a few times as well. So now
this family and their business are contracted to, I guess, help this woman do some repairs on a house. She's house sitting, and these guys are like contracted to come and help her, right? So like
just roofing things.
Yeah, and that's like pretty much, I guess, the main set piece for the last chunk of the movie. She's like their main target, I guess you could say, right? They're trying to get her, they're stalking her, they're doing all sorts of weird shit. What do you think though? Because they make her seem kind of like an asshole, right? Like she's like.
That's kind of the thing of this movie though, dude, is that as the movie goes through, everybody that like ultimately we see like gets it, it's kind of an asshole.
True.
Like they really aren't killing anybody that's like a pure innocent, I guess you could say, for a lack of a better term. But like, you know, the people that didn't want to fucking pay, even though they actually did the work, you know, those people were fucking being assholes. That the hitchhiker that we just saw, complete fucking asshole. We have this fisherman.
Wait a second. Why was the first hitchhiker? The first hitchhiker, it got his. Well, he wasn't killed. They just cut his thumb off. All right.
They cut his thumb off because he looked like fucking Billy Ray Cyrus, bro. And they're like, not fucking today. He fucking had it. Fucking thumb out. You know, they're just having some fun.
Yeah.
But like the second hitchhiker, she was a piece of shit. She was talking so much shit, calling him Gramps the whole time. Disrespectful. Had her fucking headphones on while they're fucking driving. Take those goddamn things off.
Some of that. But
anyways, but the fisherman, the guy I was talking about, you know, even this guy's a fucking asshole.
Oh, yeah. They're just
trying to go and go fishing, and they might be a little close. You know, like you said, these guys aren't like, you know, fully aware of their surroundings, I guess you could say. Maybe they don't realize they're just being a little too close to this guy while they're fishing, and this guy is just trying to give him some fucking hints that, you know, hey, you know, I don't want you fishing right here, but he's doing it in a little bit of a rude way, talking about how fucking ugly the fucking dude is.
Maybe you should tell him to turn around the other way. Seemed like a quick bite.
What are you saying?
Oh, nothing but.
He's eating the worms. I like that he's saying he's so ugly, he's scared of the fish. This guy's just shaking his head.
This Claypool over here is fucking bummed about it.
You gotta try the other side down there. It might be your bait, but
he tells him maybe you should try down the pier over there. Might be your bait, but according to this guy, it's still good. He was like, because he's eating the fucking worms. But yeah, like everybody's just kind of like got something to say to them. It's kind of weird, right? Like,
well, and you know. When you got something to fucking say to people like this, things fucking happen to you, man. And as you will see in our next scene here, things did happen to the fisherman. We may not have seen it, but we see the fucking outcome here of what happens when you call somebody ugly when you're trying to fucking just fish and have a good time.
And there's something kind of interesting about the scene. The dad seems kind of like taken aback. Like he's like a little shocked at what he sees. So he's taking a nap in the truck.
Yeah, about time. I thought you fellas fell in it. Catch your head.
It's like a South Park character.
Fish weren't biting too good. Have a look, Pa.
That don't look like no supper to me.
So he looks in the bucket and there's a severed head of the fisherman. with a bunch of fish around it. Pretty good effect, right? Pretty good fucking effect there.
Yeah.
But yeah, they seem to quote unquote teach everybody a lesson that fucks with them. Possibly my favorite kill or sequence of the movie is the dude in the bar that's like, hey, can you turn the fucking TV off? I'm over here watching the freak show. Like, he's got all these fucking things to say. I'm calling them freaks and like all this stuff. But they kill him in like such an interesting way. I've never seen this before in a movie. And
I mean, I wish it was almost more though, because it happened so fast that I was almost like, wait, what the fuck? What's going on here for a moment? Yeah,
you don't really realize what happens. So let me roll that clip. So this dude's sitting at the table by himself. The big guy grabs him, holds his mouth, and the little guy slits his throat. But they lean him over the pitcher of beer. So the blood is just pouring into the pitcher. And it looks like Kool-Aid. It's fucking awesome. But I really, really like this idea of like slitting somebody's throat in the bar, leaning them over the thing so it doesn't get anywhere.
Just into that container.
Yeah, and awesome. Like nobody notices anything. You just look like you're fucking passed out drunk or whatever. Yeah. There's a lot of clever things like that in this movie. Pretty fucking surprising, right? For such a low budget, unknown regional film.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. This was shot in Michigan. You know, it was like you just said, a regional film. This probably wasn't distributed fucking far. No, you know,
yeah, 3,000 copies apparently.
You know, so it's like not many people got their hands on it. But like the acting for like everybody that's in it is pretty solid. Even if like the grandpa's a little fucking, you know, iffy on like, you know, how his line delivery is, it works so well for the character. Like, he just seems like a little bit of an oldie timer fucking,
it still
works, you know, just a little bit of a slow guy, you know, but like it really does all work really well. The female lead, I guess you could call her, you know, she has she's really good at her role. Like you said before we got into these other guys, that like she's kind of has this like bitchy attitude, and I think maybe it's just because like, you know, she first gets to this house that she's sitting for. She's already startled by this creepy fucking gardener guy who, like, you know, is after she's walking away making fucking, you know, titty grabbing motions and stuff like that. Like, he's a little bit of a fucking creep, you know. And then, like, these fucking three, you know, super weird looking people
show up.
Yeah, and they are looking at her fucking pretty weird, too. So, like, I think she's just, you know, gradually becoming bitchy because of, like, the nature of the people that she's dealing with that she maybe wasn't expecting to be around and stuff while she was house-sitting.
But it doesn't, situation.
You know, but she is absolutely, you know, gradually becoming a little bit nastier to everybody.
Yeah. But rightfully so, I guess, now that you point it out, because these dudes are, like, just being creeps. I do like the scene where they're, like, staring at her and the one... There's a lot of fingers being cut off in this movie. There's a lot of finger cutting.
That is kind of a trope. I didn't think about how many times it happens, but it does happen quite a few.
So these two brothers are like staring at the woman as she's going to the shed, and the one cuts the other's finger off. Using the fucking saw. Cut through a piece of plywood. They're both staring, not paying attention to what's going on. And whoops.
That's so good.
You see the blood like shooting out, like gushing. Pretty good effect.
So like, I kind of take these two as a little bit of like a Chop Top and Leatherface from TCM2.
Yes, that's exactly what I think they were going for with this.
That's kind of like how what I thought too, and like especially like the reaction of the older brother there, the bigger guy with the mask. Like his reaction to like him getting cut is very much the reaction of Leatherface to a lot of things in DCM2. The weird jumping around and like, you know, kind of hectic without being like screaming or anything like that. And even like the body language, everything about it. I'm glad you picked up on that also, because I was like, this kind of just feels not like a ripoff, but like a homage too in a way.
Yeah, TCM2 was 86, so it makes sense. This was 88. Yeah, filmed it in 87. Yeah. I could definitely see it. He does a lot of things. He's like non-verbal. He's just kind of like, rah, 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 right? Like he's like a big oaf too. He's like the muscle. And the little guy's even, like the sadistic idea, one. Like
the older dad taking care of the two, you know, the or living with the fucking the two younger kids and shit like that. And like the one is more responsible than the other one, you know, being Chop Top and fucking Leatherface and stuff like that. It's, you know, it all has a very similar vibe. Even like the whole Sawyer story is kind of the same as this.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, man. I really do think that's probably like the most accurate, reference or comparison for this movie.
Comparison for sure.
Yeah.
For
sure. It doesn't really like, he doesn't look like Leatherface. I guess he kind of looks like Chop Top a little bit, the way that he's dressed. He kind of has that hippie thing going on with the head, with like the bandana on and all that shit. But I think they do a good job with like tweaking it just enough where it's not like a direct ripoff. It's just like, you know, a similar idea. But eventually we do have to come to the, the ending of this movie, the confrontation where they finally go after her. And there is a lot of pretty good shit that happens at the end of the movie. She gets whacked in the head with a fucking piece of wood, and it looks like pretty convincing, right? Like the way that like she gets like blasted forward.
Dude, I pulled this scene strictly because of the fact that it reminded me of like a fucking Looney Tunes bit.
It's insane. Wait, let's play the clip, because it like the so it's the shadow like swing with her falling forward, but it's timed perfectly. Like it's really,
oh, it's timed really well, but it's 100% something that I've seen so many times on different, like, you know, Bugs Bunny,
oh, of course,
cartoons,
yeah,
and shit.
So you see her walking. And then the dude behind with the 2x4.
I just needed like a bonk sound effect with like a little fucking action bubble that happened.
You think that would fucking like kill you at that point? That's a huge ass piece of wood.
Yeah, that's a good, I mean, he's holding it like it's not that heavy, but in real life that would be pretty substantial log. Good.
Like the other dude would have to actually swing that shit. Now go quick fucking around, go down, put her over there and hire him. What?
Albert, I don't care what you do with that bitch. Like, whoa,
he's like fucking Boomhauer, right? Like that's the
that's like Boomhauer's grandpa.
But like that's only one thing that is entertaining in this whole last sequence, because they have her tied up, they're gonna kill her, and she makes her great escape, and everybody gets fucked up in this sequence except her. Good for her, right? The shorter dude with no neck has like a hay hook, like a bale hook, right? And
she has the bale hook, and he has a knife, and he's gonna fucking scalp her.
Oh yes, like, yes.
You know, because like basically they tied her up, and then they left to go get the brother, and in that time she was able to fucking get the ropes free, and as soon as they were coming in, she found this fucking hay fucking hook. She hides it behind her back, and he's like, I'm going to fucking scalp this bitch. And dude, like, talking about taking her hair off.
You know, that's something we don't have the clip for, but the big oaf Leatherface brother is climbing up a ladder to the second floor of the barn. And she takes like a hand scythe and just cuts the top of his fucking head off. And like, they don't cut away. Like, it looks fucking violent as hell. Right, yeah, like what a fucking, see, we got to leave some shit for you to watch. There's a ton of stuff in this movie that we left out, so don't think that like we
clips that I took. So I had to
you're fucking missing out on anything. But this is like an awesome sequence here. Also, I love that your water bottle's green, so it looks like a ghost, like you're drinking.
Oh shit! I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
I'm drinking now, it all.
You know what you got to do, man? You got to get like No, I'm going to figure it out, man. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to, we're going to fuck. Yeah, look at that. That's so awesome. All right, so let's roll this clip. So she's like sitting there crying. He's got the big hunting knife. Picks up the meat hook. I guess it's actually a meat hook. She got it coming. And she fucking drives that thing into the top of his fucking head.
Him shaking is great, dude. Yeah. Like that.
that was the grandpa's holding a shot. Grandpa, the dad is holding a shotgun. And as she goes to run, she pushes it down and he pulls the fucking trigger and blows his fucking foot apart. Holy shit, love man.
Grandpa.
I love the reactions of everybody. I love the fucking reactions of everybody. It's just, it's so in tune with the movie and it all fits so well, that it just, it's great. It makes it such a crazy viewing experience. So she eventually runs, she gets in the truck, she starts fucking driving away. But the brother with the fucking, meat hook in his head goes for one last, like Jason Voorhees type, lunge at her through the window. She rolls the window up and pulls away. Now, this is fucking awesome. He's got this fucking hook stuck in his head. It's now stuck in the window of the van. She's driving down the road as he's being pulled along. And he's like screaming. And eventually they get up to a fence post. They hit the fence post. And all that's left is like the top of his fucking head. Awesome. Yeah. Now, we don't have that. Great. We don't have great that clip effect. Because you have to watch it. It's fucking great. It looks so awesome. But we do have the return of Leatherface, or a Jason Voorhees, I guess, because he's a non, you know, he doesn't really talk or anything. Yeah. But we get a very, I guess, unforeseen ending. I was not expecting this. And I don't know, man, how do you feel about what we're about to show?
Oh, man. I love the first half of it. I have questions about the second half, I guess.
So she's driving away, crying hysterically. You think it's all over. But the bigger brother pops out of the backseat. And grabs her. He looks menacing.
I love that his mask is off.
Yeah, and his face is all fucked up and he's bleeding from the head. And she wakes up on her couch to a phone call. It was all a dream. Or actually, it was a premonition, because they show up to the door knocking and she's like, what an ending, man. It's similar to what's it called? City of the Walking Dead or whatever.
So I wanted to like show that part in particular because I feel like it's important to have the discussion about it.
Okay, let's go. Let's go.
Man, for me, this movie is fucking awesome. And I like to look at the movie as a whole from the start of it until this very moment happens. You know? I really don't like the fucking dream thing. The fact that it's a premonition is maybe a little bit better, because like, you know, maybe the chaos can still happen, but you know, who knows the outcome now that she has a little bit of a heads up ahead of time to maybe, you know, plan her escape or whatever. Sets up a good sequel, you know, for fucking Hackers 2. Maybe that was the idea behind it. But all in all, I feel like it's just, it's a cheap fucking, the cheap twist, man. You know, so, it's a cheap swerve. You know, so, it's very fucking Russo. So it's a fucking swerve.
It's Russo. I take it as a premonition, because they were killing people before she went to that house.
Right. And that's what it was confusing. And that's okay. And I think that's what like makes me even more confused about it, is the fact that they were already killing people. And then she wakes up from a dream. Just from like, what point does like her dream start and the other stuff begin or whatever? Yeah. You know, is all of it a dream? Did she dream the other killings before her? Is there people she dreamed up as well? Or is it just like,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. That's the questions that I think it leaves.
I'm going to have to rewatch it now. I thought about that after the fact, but I couldn't quite remember if anybody was killed like from that point on, but I believe they were, like the fishermen and shit. Like, I don't know. We're going to have to rewatch it, because that would make a little bit more sense if no other outside people were killed from the point that they got to her house. But I don't think that's the case. No, they killed the gardener, didn't they?
Yeah. He gets whacked, dude. The fisherman and stuff. The guy at the bar, that definitely happens. Because, like, they meet her early on, like, maybe halfway through the movie. They meet
her. Oh, yeah. They first go.
Working on the house and shit. So it's like, the scene where, like, they're at the window, that happens pretty much middle way through the movie. Where, like, they show at the end of the movie happening, yeah. Like, where her premonition begins and stuff. That's about halfway through. So, like, there's a lot of other killings that would have to be a part of her dream also in order for that all to, like, make sense.
Very interesting. I guess we're going to have to rewatch it and figure it out, man. We're going to have to take notes this time. Like, make a timeline. But other than that, I thought this movie was great. I thought it was a good watch.
Oh, it is really good. Yeah, I loved it.
It's on fucking YouTube. Easy to fucking easy to get, or you could spend a whole lot of money on the tape. Either or.
Yeah.
Do as you wish. Do as you wish. So Grizz, I think it's actually no, let's talk about next week. We're gonna have a very special guest on, but we will announce that when this episode goes live on our podcast channel /feed. But next week we will finally be covering Scream Dream. And yes, I have the tape thanks to my man Gravespitter. It took me forever to track this one down, or I guess acquire it from the time that I started looking. One of my favorite, metal themes from any of the movies that we'll probably ever cover. For some reason, really? I really like the theme to this. Yeah, like the Scream Dream song. I don't know. I just have I got a thing for it. But yeah, we're going to have special guests on. But next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can watch it live on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@badtastevideopodcast. Grizz, I think it's time that we're going to head over to the wide world of metal. And we have another fucking awesome band this week. Another new new one for us. And yeah. why don't you give the rundown?
Yeah, this band's a real pain in the ass. The name of the band is called Hemorrhoid. It's they fucking totally blew my mind, man. They have a little bit in common with the band that we covered last week, as they are both on Headsplit Records out of Portland, Oregon. Something's going on in fucking Oregon with the fucking death metal scene there right now, where these dudes are fucking killing it. Torture Rack is coming out of there. And speaking of Torture Rack, big fucking fans of that band. We've covered them before here on the Wide World of Metal. The guitar player and vocalist in this band is also the vocalist for the band fucking Torture Rack. So that's probably why this band also,
you know, rules. he's got high standards. Hard. Yeah, he's got high standards.
High standards, but the dude really fucking dials it in. The guitar playing, as we'll see here on some of these tracks, is next fucking level, man. That's what really kind of sold me on this. It's death grind. It's kind of like it's definitely death metal inspired, but there's definitely some gore grind inspiration in this as well. This kind of reminds me of like everything that was just fucking awesome about early death metal, like the early 90s death metal. Yeah. This band kind of has all of that.
Lots of riffs. Really like I don't know how to explain it. Lots of like shit you can actually like a lot of groove sections.
That's the word,
and
dude.
Shit.
Groove.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's play a dozen superating masses first. Cause yeah, that was, I had to get that name out, because this is also, I think they win for the longest song titles that I had to type into the program here.
Yeah, this one was definitely a little bit more complicated song titles.
I like the artwork too.
That groove right there, dude, so sick.
You love the two-step. I know you love it.
Dude, fucking rules, dude, man.
And here we go.
Fucking buttery.
So much dive bomb fucking assaulting in this album.
Dude, and what I love about like all those guitar parts in this album is that they are like really set above in the mix. Like they really fucking,
you hear them. You can hear everything that they do.
The dive bomb comes in loud every time, and it's so fucking awesome, man.
It's such like a high squeal. It's such a strong squeal.
Let's play but this album that they just came out with, this is their first full length. They had a demo out in 23. These songs all come off of the album Raw Materials of Decay. The artwork, as you just saw right there, it's a fucking ton of songs. I'm not sure what the track list is, but there's well over fucking 12 to 15 songs on this album. And then none of them are like disappointing or like skip tracks. Every single one of them that I listened to, I was just like, man, there's something about this groove. There's something about this guitar part. The one I want to play next is the ultimate commode of chaos and carnage, which is a fucking great name. Ultimate commode of chaos and carnage.
So like every song has like a groove to it at some point,
but they also have like really good grind parts too that just like shift right into something that's like a really
the drummer is really good.
Yeah, that fucking squeal. that is one thing that I definitely want to, what you just pointed out is really important. The drummer is fucking incredible. The way that snare is like tuned in too, man, that super high snappy snare, it fits so well for this. And when he's hitting like those fucking rolls, it sounds like a fucking machine gun going.
Yeah,
it sounds
for sure
so good, dude.
I want to play the last clip that we have here because this was actually one of my favorite songs on the album, A Cacophony of Bloody Lactation.
Yeah, this is the last song on the entire album too. This is how they close it out. This opens.
I love this shit for some reason.
The bass sounds great too.
And this. I love it.
Fucking good. God damn it.
And then, like, dude, the blast is so tight and everything.
Oh, my God. I didn't know if it was a machine at first, but then there's parts you could tell that, like, that's just a dude fucking ripping.
No, this band rips. Everybody in the band is fucking talented as hell. I'm really impressed. I don't know how I've never heard of these bands.
Fucking three-piece, dude. A fucking three-piece.
Wow.
I fucking love that, man.
Who? It's the singer guitar. And then...
Singer guitar player, Torture Rack, drummer, and then a bass player.
Damn, the bass player's getting off light duty on that one, huh?
Dude, just laying it down. Though. Like that boy you just heard right there. I mean, the thickness of that bass track laying on top of that, it helps that track so much. Just give it that thick, then that groove really comes from like how good their bass player is. My man had the fucking driest mouth, right? They just fucking drank that water like it was going out of style.
These are little ones. I still have a kidney stone. There's one left.
Bro, okay, this dude passed a fucking kidney stone.
Oh my God, it would have
made fucking Fred Flintstone blush, dude. This thing was a fucking boulder. It had fucking spikes like a fucking...
Yeah.
It looked like the end of a fucking mace ball, dude. It was fucking wild,
my pain tolerance is fucking crazy high now.
I couldn't believe that came out of you, brother.
But I still have one, so like... I'm like almost... I could tell at this point that like I'm pretty close. Like that, like it's going to come out soon.
There's nothing you can do to that fucking thing. That's gonna
I could take a blade, no problem. If you tried to stab me, it would not stop me like at all. Yeah. But like I'm so used to just chugging like regular size bottles of water and like big fucking things of water that like when you get these, it's just like, fuck,
it's
man.
Nothing,
just,
dude.
Yeah. Just gotta drink seven of them at a time.
I agree, dude. The little ones are a sip and done. Why wasting your time here?
Yeah.
He knows how fucking gnarly that fucking
Yeah, it looked like Sauron's helmet. It was fucked up. Like it had spikes. Or like a phantasm.
Looked like you got a box
sphere.
Of nerds that were fucked up and a bunch of them stuck together. And you got
oh,
a big
yeah,
like,
it's like hell's nerds, right? Like
nerd ball, dude.
Yeah, that thing was fucking brutal. But Grizz, why don't you give them the info for this band again? Because I know that they have their shit on YouTube, but.
Oh, yeah, YouTube, Bandcamp, all those great fucking places, Spotify, they're on there. The band is Hemorrhoid. I cannot stress enough. Go out, look up, you know, both their demo and the new album. I'm in love, dude. The past two fucking bands that we've covered out of Portland, Oregon have been complete destroyers that are going to be like a must fucking listen to.
Yeah.
For a while to come, man.
Yeah. I'm really impressed with all these bands that you're fucking sending me. I hope they keep coming. Eventually, are we going to run out, man? Is that, are we going
to? I have, this is like one of my favorite things to do every week is to like find the band that I want to talk about.
Okay.
With everybody here.
Great.
So many people fucking hit me up and, you know, tell me how fucking cool some of the bands are that they find. They post on Facebook how fucking cool, you know, the bands are that we're posting and stuff. So I fucking love the feedback. But for me, this is just like my way of like guaranteeing myself the time that I need to find new music that I've always done.
Gotcha.
And just a busier life that I got, man. So it's fucking awesome.
One thing I will say, man, I want you to find like literally a modern Mortician. Find me the most modern Mortician you could find. Because
I mean, I want off the top of my head, I always think Fluids, but I think there's got to be something a little bit more. I mean, because Fluids can go a little bit outside of that realm, but some of the earlier shit is definitely.
You know, I mean, straight. I need a straight Mortician rip from like 2024, baby. Let's get that going.
You know. There's some Mincecore bands that I think are kind of doing that right now that I've been hesitant to pull the trigger on. So maybe next week I'll try to figure something like that out.
Damn, Rumpelmincecore. That's Rumpelmins? Yeah, Rumpelmins. I threw up drinking that shit once. Grizz, I think that just about wraps it up for our movie and metal speak this week. Next week we're going to be doing another metal show. Unfortunately, it's not going to be EK. We're doing a metal show without him. I'm going, Brendan Timmons, speaking of dope bands, I'm going to a 3-day dungeon synth festival.
Yeah, that's going to be fucking sweet, dude.
Yo, EK, how are you not flying out for that? I feel like he could do a dungeon synth band. I could see him wearing chainmail and the helmet and shit. Right? Like,
dude, he wants. It's in his blood so bad. He's like, oh man, if EK was like on hard drugs, he would probably be fucking doing something like that.
I'm gonna ship him my fucking one of my nice keyboards. I'm gonna say, do it, man, do it.
Do it. The dream, dude.
Yeah,
never too late.
you're into dungeon synth? You're into that stuff,
dude? This is so fucking stupid. Dungeon synth is cool. Dino synth is where it's fucking at, dude.
Oh yeah, I remember you sending us that band.
Telling you, there's some fucking awesome prehistoric fucking some bands out there,
dude. What was that band called that you sent us?
Oh, I think it was Badlands, like Lost Lands. Yeah, Lost Lands. That was the one that we were listening to the one day, dude.
You want to cover that next week? You want to do a dino synth band?
I will 100% find a dino synth.
Yeah, let's do a dino synth band next week.
Oh, it's gonna be ridiculous.
It's called Northeast Dungeon Siege. Lineup is sick. I'm bringing a sword, my man. I hope you're not flying there. TSA is frowning upon that.
Yeah, dude, Garbage Man Gore fucking rules, dude. I've been definitely playing them a bunch too. See, like Italian fucking death metal, man.
Buy everybody shit too. Everybody buy a record or a CD or a t-shirt of these bands. It really means a lot when you send them some money.
I ordered two today. I'm not even bullshitting. I ordered a shirt from the last band this week and another Fluid shirt.
I don't buy clothes, so I leave that to Grizz. I just wear the same shit every day. Yeah, you like to support your local musicians. That's fine.
I'm a synth whore. I'm that too, baby. No, I'm a fucking shirt whore. Though I love a good band shirt.
Gollum of Gore is excellent. Angry winter shoveling music. There you go. Yeah, see, anybody, great. Yeah. Anybody who works like a manual labor job, put that shit on. That'll get you going. You ripping up tile, put that shit on. You pulling down drywall. Put that shit on. You putting up drywall, put that shit on. You got it.
You're mudding drywall. Shoot yourself. That sucks, dude.
That's the worst part. That is the absolute worst part. That's the only part anybody ever notices. Right? Like, that's what, immediately they go and look at the quarters and all that shit.
Doesn't matter if the fucking sheetrock layer fucking sucked at his job and, you know, fucking did bad seams. Now it's up to the fucking mutter to fix it.
You could have a...
I'm not going to get into the trades here, people. I've lived my whole life doing this bullshit and people suck. So it's it is what it is.
You should see the room I'm in right now. You gotta... It was definitely done by an amateur, but it wasn't me, so I could still laugh at it. But Chris, I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. I feel like we fucking went on long enough. But where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Instagram at Kane_Enabler.
And you can find me at Bad Taste Video. And you can find everything we do at www.badtastevideo.com. We also have a Patreon if you want to donate just so we can pay the fucking bills. I put some movies up there. Did anybody watch Dead is Dead 2? What'd you think? I'm pretty curious what everybody thinks of that shit. But you can also watch us record this podcast live every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@badtastevideopodcast. This is also released audio only every Thursday on all podcast platforms. But if you want to see what we're talking about and see the clips that you're hearing, come Tuesday night. Or you can just go watch anytime after that. We leave the live videos up, so you can go visit that and watch them after the fact, which is probably the best way to do it. Right, Chris?
Yeah, I like that.
Then you can see all the fingers getting cut off and all that shit.
All
right?
All the fingers.
Yeah, fuck. See the fingers. There it is. All right. That's it. That's enough for this week. Grizz, why don't you say goodbye to the wonderful people in the chat and listening at home?
Bye, everybody.
Thank you, everybody in the chat, for coming. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We will see you next week with Scream Dream.